Bin Laden, you think they're foes? They're in business together. Danny Bush knows the Carlyle Group since years before been raking in billions and itching for more.
It's blood for oil. We know there's a link.
They say code war.
We say code pink.
It's blood for oil. We know there's a link. They say code war.
We say code pink.
Code pink for freedom.
Code pink for peace.
Code pink
to hunger.
Was not Iraq, but Iran.
They feed you lies, don't want you to think.
They say code terror,
we say code pink.
They feed you lies, don't want you to think. They say code terror,
we say code pink.
Code pink for freedom.
Code pink for peace.
Code pink
to hunger.
Phones and the places we meet, they curtail our speech, our movement, our rights, but we won't give up
without a fight.
With the wave of the flag, our liberty shrink. They say code fear,
we say code pink.
With the wave of the flag, our liberty shrink. They say code fear,
we say code pink.
Code pink for freedom.
Code pink for peace.
Code pink
to hunger.
Code Pink by Emma's Revolution. I am Grace of Code Pink. Welcome to our Code Pink radio show presented by WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, and many other community radio stations like Western Mass Community Broadcasting, WMCB LP 107.9 FM. We are also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Check out our website at www.codepink.org/radio, where you will find all of our episodes from episode 1 to our most recent. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This week, we'll be reflecting on the historic DC March for Gaza event that happened on January 13th. Code Pink brought a huge contingent to the march, and our co-founder, Medea Benjamin, spoke to the crowd, encouraging folks to take actions with us in the halls of Congress. Our show today will consist of speeches and thoughts from the march, as well as conversations from our most recent Missing Peace Monday community call. Missing Peace Monday is a one-hour weekly gathering that brings us together in community to listen to, hear from, share with, and hold up each other during this time. Code Pink staff brings in some of our friends and resources to share with our Code Pink community, but we also ask our community to bring in their own friends and resources as well. Each week, we uplift each other and our actions, as well as discuss different ways we can resist in our own community. Our show reminds us that right now, peace is missing, and we need to bring it back to each other. We are first going to listen to Melissa Garriga, our Code Pink Media Relations Coordinator, as she brings us up to date on the latest news on Palestine, as well as contextualizing Medea's speech on the 13th.
Peace is missing, so we got to bring it back. And let's start now with Missing Peace Monday. Usually, Noor gives us an update on what's going on in Palestine. She has her ear to the ground. She's very knowledgeable about what's happening there right now. And she, obviously, she's out this week. But I just want to talk about things that have happened this past week. A lot's happened since we last met. On Thursday, South Africa presented its meticulous case against Israel in the International Court of Justice. And then Israel had a chance to defend themselves on Friday. Could probably take the whole hour talking about that case itself. But we have a lot more things to talk about. But just some of my key takeaways from that those couple of days. So South Africa not only focused their case off based off the events that unfolded on October 7th, but set the case of genocide in the complete context of the 75-year occupation. They painstakingly laid out fact-based evidence of civilian death by Israel's constant bombardment. They talked about the health and humanitarian crisis brought on by Israel cutting off food, water, electricity. They talked about the intentional bombing of key infrastructure like schools and hospitals and even safe zones where they've asked people to evacuate to. And then they proved all this also by, they proved the intentionality of all this by using the words of Israeli officials themselves. I think for me, one of the most important parts of their whole presentation, though, was how they used the precedent from other cases of genocide in the past, and they connected that to what's happening in South Africa and how the International Court of Justice ruled on those cases in the past, how they saw the need for preventional measures in the past. And so I'm hoping that that's what's going to influence the court to rule that provisional measures need to be taken now and we can get a ceasefire. I'm not going to give airtime to Israel's defense on Friday, just two things that you need to know about it. One, they lied a lot. And they also didn't disprove any facts that South Africa presented. So there you are. We do expect a preliminary decision in a week or so, and this will be whether there needs to be measures to stop what's happening right now through maybe a ceasefire. But actually, the actual case itself can go on a lot longer than that. So we'll certainly keep our community updated, and I know that y'all have your ears to the news as well. So we'll hopefully hear something from that soon. After that incredible, like historical moment on Thursday when South Africa presented that case, people across the globe hit the streets on Saturday and Sunday with marches and rallies and solidarity and support for Palestinians. There was a large Code Pink contingent in DC on Saturday. We also had a solidarity march in San Francisco on Sunday. Our co-founder, Medea Benjamin, spoke at the March for Gaza rally in D.C. That rally pulled in around 400,000 people. The last rally in November estimated around 300,000 people. So the movement's growing. And it was a freezing cold day and people came out anyways. And so that's beautiful. And it's also inspiring that, yeah. So okay, we're going to take a minute, and Grace, I don't know if you have it queued up yet or not, but we're going to take a minute and watch Medea's speech from Saturday, and then I'm going to let Jody talk to y'all about what happened after the march and rally.
My name is Medea Benjamin with Code Pink, and we have been walking the halls of Congress every day for the last 3 months. But today I want to address the occupant in the White House. You know that Joe Biden used to cultivate an image of himself as this nice, kind Uncle Joe. He knew the value of human life because he had suffered such losses himself. Now he is no longer the comforter in chief. He is known as Genocide Joe. So when I say Genocide Joe, I want you to lift your hands in the air and say, the blood is on your hands. Genocide Joe. President Biden, for decades now, every time the Palestinian people have risen up against the 75-year-old brutal Israeli occupation, instead of sympathizing with their plight and seeking a real solution, you have reiterated your rock-solid support for their oppressor. Genocide Joe, the blood is on your hands. President Biden, in these last terrifying 3 months, when we have witnessed the murder of over 10,000 precious Palestinian children, when we have heard their soul-wrenching cries trapped in the rubble, instead of demanding that Israel immediately stop this atrocity, you bypass Congress to send more weapons. Genocide Joe, the blood is on your hands. President Biden, the overwhelming majority of countries came together at the UN to put an end to the slaughter, and instead, you vetoed the UN resolution. Genocide Joe. And when your own campaign staff say that it is a moral and electoral imperative for you to publicly call for a ceasefire, please don't wonder why you've lost the support of the young people, the Muslim community, progressive Jews like myself. Time will not heal this wound. Come November, we will remember, because Genocide Joe. But to counter these policies and those of Congress people in the pocket of AIPAC, just look around. We are building a beautiful, enormous, multi-generational, multi-ethnic groundswell of support for the Palestinian people. One that will not be appeased or bought or contained or stopped, that will only keep growing and growing until Palestine is free. Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Jody Evans, our Code Pink co-founder, was also in DC for this amazing event. During Missing Peace Monday, she shared with us the actions that happened before, during, and after the historic day. Let's listen now.
I just want to back up a little because also we, on Thursday night, learned of the bombing of Yemen. And we learned of it in Washington. And I was speaking to members of Congress that night who were furious because they said that Biden had been working on this for a month, talking to leaders in the Middle East, and only 3 hours before told Congress. So we, Code Pink, called an emergency protest outside the White House, and we were out there for 4 hours from, I think, 9 o'clock, or 3 hours, 9 o'clock to midnight on Thursday night. So that was also happening. One of the things that we organized to be part of the march is one of our amazing Code Pink volunteers had a vision of 10,000 dolls that she could cover with blood and make an art project. And so I said, well, let's start with 500. So she pulled together 500 dolls, covered them in red paint, and we put them right outside the White House fence, the double fence, because they'd fenced in the White House, totally afraid of us. You know, and it said, Genocide Joe, you have blood on your hands. It was a beautiful poster by Farida of Code Pink. I don't know if Grace is going to show some of the images, but it was a powerful piece of art that people came by and witnessed and were deeply and emotional about. And then a bunch of youth came by and they started throwing the dolls over the fence until the street between this fence and the White House was littered with hundreds of them. And it was a powerful image. There you go, Biden, blood on your hands, right there in front of the White House, as close as we could get. And then as the crowd narrowed and the march got to us and it got very tight around there is when the community that had been marching came and threw them onto the streets. Next to us was also a very powerful enactment of men that were stripped to the waist and an enactment of how they're treated by the IOF in Gaza was really, really, really powerful. Some of the other art expressions of how do you bring what is happening home so you could wake up the hearts and minds of those in power. Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks, Jody. And I'm glad you mentioned that about the men, the reenactment of the men, because we do focus a lot on women and children, but it's all Palestinians. It's women, children, men, boys. I think that it's great to know that everyone's being represented and thought of in these actions.
So one of our partners in DC, Hazami, has been doing a die-in around DC every day. This was, I guess, her something like 90th event, including at Blinken's house, including getting fake blood on Blinken's car. So every day she finds a way to bring what's happening present. Hey, Hadley, great that you're joining her tomorrow. So she's a brilliant artist that is super inspiring. So if you're in DC, we work very closely with her.
Great. And then, you know, I can't believe I forgot Yemen when I was recapping what all happened this week. But I think it's just because this week has been kind of crazy and a lot going on. And so we had a large Code Pink contingent join us in DC. It was just great to see everyone coming together. And those that were there before Saturday joined Medea, who's been in Congress every day since this has happened. Joined Medea in Congress, and I don't know if you folks have seen it, but we dropped a banner in Congress, but also unfurled this large Palestinian flag, and it was just such a historic and touching moment because the Palestinian flag has never been unveiled in the United States Congress or any probably United States building other than maybe the one outside Tlaib's office. But yeah, just a really powerful moment. So
I also want to talk about, you know, I've dropped banners in that Hart building for the last 20 years. And it was the morning after the bombing of Yemen and people were really edgy. And what was interesting is we worked really hard and we got our choreography together because we dropped 7 banners at the same time. But what was interesting was that police were so anxious that they just pulled back. Matter of fact, on my floor, on the second floor, he said, just wait till I get out of the way and please drop it. So it's interesting. We ran into this around Iraq, that the police sometimes are with us. And that was a day when, you know, they let us do this and they let it stay up and they never told us to take it down. So we had it up for quite a long time. And then, you know, I think they gave a warning and then we took it down. So it was also profound in that usually I'm struggling to keep the banner and being, you know, threatened with arrest. But also, as you know, those that are working in the administration or in Washington are having their own trepidations about what is happening. And we know tomorrow is a walkout of Biden administration staffers.
As Jody mentioned, Code Pink contributed to a major action in front of the White House in response to Biden bombing Yemen. Why is this happening? Because the Houthis in Yemen are blocking commercial ships from going to Israel in protest of the genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Instead of calling for a ceasefire, Biden would rather push us into another deadly war. Instead of calling for a ceasefire, Biden would rather kill more innocent Yemenis. Instead of calling for a ceasefire, Biden would rather go against the U.S. Constitution. We have an action on our website urging Congress members and Joe Biden to take their hands off Yemen. You can read more about this at www.codepink.org/Yemen124. After the march, Code Pink came back to the White House to organize an immensely powerful visual. As Jody mentioned, Code Pink activists displayed the bloody bodies and limbs of 500 baby dolls outside the White House. Since October 7th, more than 10,000 Palestinian children in Gaza have been killed by the Israeli military with U.S. support. The 100th day has just passed since October 7th, with an alarming average 117 children being murdered daily. The direct action highlights President Biden's continued support and funding for the ongoing genocide Israel's committing in Gaza and his disregard for the immense loss and suffering of Palestinians at the hands of Israel. Our co-founder, Jody Evans, also said, Biden is hiding inside the White House, protected by a fence, military police, and snipers on the roof, while the children in besieged Gaza are left unprotected from Israel's genocidal bombing that kills 5 children every hour. That is around 117 children murdered daily. We are here to let Biden know that he can no longer hide from genocide. The blood of over 10,000 murdered children is on his hands. Thank you so much to our Missing Peace Monday team, Jody Evans, Medea Benjamin, and everyone that contributed to these amazing actions. You are listening to Code Pink Radio, coming to you through Pacifica's Radio, WPFW in Washington, D.C., WBAI in New York City, KPFD in Houston, and KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. We will be back after this break with more events, guests, and actions.
عصفور طل من الشباك وقال لي يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو قلت له انت من وين قال لي من حدود السما قلت له جاي من وين قال لي من بيت الجيران قلت له خايف من مين قال لي من القفص هربان قلت له ريشاتك وين قال لي فرفطها الزمان عصفور طل من الشباك وقال لي يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو ونزلت عخد ودمعة وجناحاته متكين وتهدى بالأرض وقال بدي امشي وما في ونزلت عخد ودمعة وجناحاته متكي وتهدى بالأرض وقال بدي امشي وما في وضميته عقلبي وصار يتوجع على جروحاته ضميته عقلبي وصار يتوجع على جروحاته قبل ما يكسر الحبس تكسر صوته وجناحاته قلت له انت من وين قال لي من حدود السما قلت له جاي من وين قال لي من بيت الجيران قلت له خايف من مين قال لي من القفص هربان قلت له ريشتك وين اللي فرفضها الزمان عصفور طل من الشباك وقال لي يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو قلتله لا تخاف تطلع شوف الشمس اللي رح تطلع وتطلع عالغاب وشاف أمواج الحرية بتلمع قلتله لا تخاف تطلع شوف الشمس اللي رح تطلع وتطلع عالغاب وشاف أمواج الحرية بتلمع شاف جوانح عم بتزقزق من خلف بواب العلي شاف جوانح عم بتزقزق من خلف بواب العلي شاف الغابي عم بتحلق على جوانح الحري قلتله انت من وين قال لي من حدود السماء قلتله جاي من وين قال لي من بيت الجيران قلتله خايف من مين قال لي من القفص هربان قلتله ريشاتك وين قال لي فرفضها الزمان عصفور طل من الشباك وقال لي يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو خبيني عندك خبيني دخلك يا نونو.
Welcome back. I am Grace, the Administrative Support and Feminist Foreign Policy Project Coordinator here at Code Pink. You are listening to Code Pink Radio, presented by WBAI in New York City, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, and KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles. Thank you again so much for joining us. We will now listen to our Missing Piece Monday guest speaker, Alexis Jude. Melissa will first introduce Alexis with her bio and a question.
So tonight, we have a special guest joining us. We're going to hear from Alexis Jude. I think I probably mispronounced the last name, so I'll allow her to correct me. But she's a Palestinian Mexican organizer who has been organizing around Palestine and adjacent liberation movements for the past 8 years. She is a DePaul graduate with a degree in political science, and she currently works as a STEM educator. Growing up in Chicago, Alexis experienced firsthand the oppression of Black and Brown communities. And recognize that connection early on, the connection of the oppression of Palestinians that they faced back home to the oppression faced here. Her upbringing has been the primary reason for being an activist, and her advocacy for all low-income people and racial justice within the Black and Brown community. Alexis uses poetry and visual arts to convey a message of resistance in the fight for liberation of all stolen lands. Alexis, welcome to Missing Piece Monday. So I just wondered if maybe you could share a little with us about how all struggles for liberation are connected to the Palestinian struggle and why it's important that we make those connections, and just maybe a little bit from your experience.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for the introduction, Melissa. I want to say that I'm grateful. I'll start off, I'm grateful to be holding this space with you all and to speak about the importance of solidarity work when we are fighting for liberation. And when I mean liberation for all people. So the connections are extremely vast. I'm going to start off with this. Our oppressors borrow tactics of oppression. When we look at any place in the world where people are oppressed, whether Black, Brown, people, especially or indigenous people, and even poor white people, our oppressors they borrow tactics of oppression to oppress us. How in which they do that is in house surveillance. So where there's cameras, facial recognition of predominantly Black and Brown communities, we're heavily surveilled. The policing brutality, and not to mention the first form of police in the United States was slave hunters. And around the world, we see that police are usually the tool or the institution used to oppress Black and Brown people or people that are low income. Also the imprisonment of political leaders or Black and Brown bodies. So in Palestine or in Palestine, people are arrested with no trial, and they're not even told what they're being charged for. And we see similar things in the United States. We also have political prisoners still to this very day in the United States prison industrial complex, mainly people that were either wrongly accused by racist police stations or Black Panther or brown leaders that are still in prison to this day for their political involvement, and try to find justice with that. And also the assassination of our people on the street, and especially our political leaders. We see this time and time again. Israel targets very specific people. I'm talking about journalists, I'm talking about doctors, educators, people in our civil society. They tried to destroy every part of civil society. And we see that in the United States with the killing of multiple political leaders, more specifically, Martin Luther King. He was assassinated. And so was Fred Hampton, which was the leader of the Black Panther Party in Chicago, and also the beloved Malcolm X. So yeah, those are the connections, the biggest connection. But why our oppression is extremely linked, and how our oppressors borrow tactics of oppression, but why, and this is also important, why we must be united front against our oppressors. If they borrow tactics of oppression, we borrow tactics of resistance. Do you know what I mean? I hope that makes sense. But yeah, something I also want to talk about is the destruction and demolition of Black and Brown civil society by colonial powers. More specifically, I'll get more specific, the bombing of churches in the United States, the Birmingham church, I think it was in the 60s, in the civil rights movement, the KKK members, which are also linked to the police in Birmingham, physically blew up a Black church. Or we think about Tulsa, a whole Black community that was carpet bombed by the United States. And then we look back and we connect that to Palestine and Gaza, where churches, hospitals, schools, every people's actual homes are being bombed on top of their bodies. So the connections are endless, and this is why our solidarity is extremely important. Once we realize that we're linked, then yeah, and we can come together as a united front to, inshallah, defeat these oppressors. But yeah, I also want to discuss one more thing. Oh, okay. So it is MLK Day. I really, really, really want to talk about Martin Luther King's legacy and pretty much honor his dedication really quick if I can. So Martin Luther King exhibit through his 39 years of life before he was assassinated and the 13 years he organized for the equal rights of Black and Brown Americans. Martin's Christian background, faith inspired the powerful nonviolent movement during the civil rights struggle. This movement highlighted the importance and impact of protests, grassroots organization, and civil disobedience to achieve monumental goals for African Americans living in the United States. And I just want to quickly highlight some of his most amazing work. Most of us know it, but I think it's important to honor his legacy. So in 1955, Martin served as a spokesman for the Montgomery Bus Boycott, a campaign ran by Black Americans in Montgomery, Alabama, to force the state to integrate on the city's bus lines. After 381 days of boycotting and the participants of the Black community, resulting in the U.S. Supreme Court ruling racial segregation and transportation was unconstitutional. This is extremely powerful, especially today when we see the BDS movement boycott, divest, sanction from Israeli genocide or companies in connection to Palestine. So don't ever let them tell you boycotting doesn't work, because it does. It's one of our biggest tools to combat to combat these colonial forces. And also, in 1963, Dr. King was a leader behind the March for Jobs, drawing over 250,000 people to march at the National Mall. Dr. King delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech, inspiring our nation to act on civil rights for all oppressed people. This march put pressure on Congress to pass the landmark Civil Rights Act, which made racial segregation and discrimination against Black and Brown people during the hiring process illegal. So important. Why protesting is extremely important, because it changes the minds of people. It sways people to see some, it sways people to stop being individualistic and to see the oppression of other people. Also really quick, my bad. Then the following year, Congress went on to pass the Voting Rights Act that's set to eliminate the voting barriers and disenfranchisement of voting for African Americans in the United States. This important legislation passing is a direct result of Selma to Montgomery March for the voting rights leading to Dr. King. So like I said prior to that, civil disobedience is key into changing legislation and the hearts and minds of the American people. I also want to quickly talk about, although we're talking about nonviolence because it is MLK Day, I also want to talk about people's right to resist when faced with brutal occupation. Fighting as a means of resistance, I completely condone that, because colonization, especially Israel's colonization of Palestine, historic Palestine, is extremely brutal and violent. And we cannot decipher how our people were to retaliate. So in order to decolonize, it has to be violent. And our people have suffered 75 years of oppression, and enough is enough. I also want to talk about really quick the erasure of our history in schools and mainstream society. The revolution will not be televised, but the role of social media in documenting our own story of resistance and our will also display what the news will not do is televise what our resistance looked like and why we're resisting. But also, it's important that we document that, and we also document our liberation and our joy, inshallah, in this lifetime of free Palestine.
After Alexis's amazing words and thoughts and connections to local, national, and global organizing, Jody Evans and Alexis discuss some current questions related to the current movement for Palestinian liberation, as well as connecting the Palestinian cause to other urgent fights for freedom. We will listen to that now.
Prior to this genocide, is most of their content was cultural, was to highlight the beauty, the joy, the resistance of people of Gaza. So it is extremely heartbreaking that all they do is post is their means of survival and to document Israeli war crimes. So it is actually really sad. I actually got a question in the chat. It says, I hope they don't mind I read it. What are the Saudis doing? Why don't they unite and put an oil embargo on U.S. supplies and pressure Biden that way? They're doing nothing while other countries are fighting for Gaza. Okay, we can break this down. I think we must realize that Arab countries are also colonizers, and also not all of them, of course, but or some most of them are. Saudi Arabia, they're colonizers. They use means of force. So I don't see them as any different.
Well, let's also look at that. This is about oil. You know that it's always, if you get to the core of it, about oil, and always about commerce.
Yeah.
The fact that they're bombing Yemen, not in the blocking of the ships, no one was killed. And you could think about what Yemen was doing. Think about a country during the Holocaust bombing the railroad tracks where they were taking the Jews to the ovens. So think about that. What Yemen was doing was stopping a genocide by blocking more arms and more things from getting to Israel. So they get bombed, you know. And, you know, like I said earlier, this was all negotiated by the Biden administration for a month before they did it. And, you know, Iran has been the only one to step up. So let's just remember that this is about the financialization, the greed, the corruption, the capitalism that is destroying the earth and the people. And Saudi Arabia is like at the top of the list there. And there's not people in Saudi Arabia that even care about their own people or the people, you know, like, so we're looking at people in power that are psychopaths. Biden, Netanyahu, the prince cut up a journalist into little pieces and put him in a suitcase. We're not talking about people who know how to be human. This is about greed and who can own the oil. And it's about racism. You know, very clearly to have this happen, you know, thank you, Alexis, for pointing out, this is a bigger issue. We're watching this happen during the Ukraine war, which is already full of lies and but you know, we already watched the racism of the war on Ukraine. And now it's just further expanded that racism to be watching what's happening in Palestine. And so, you know, at Code Pink, we took 1,000 people to Gaza in 2009. And I can tell you many of them came back and couldn't talk for like a month for what they witnessed then. And so, you know, with the time we have left, I just, you know, remind us that why we come together on these Missing Peace Mondays is for our hearts and to be in community. And we're about to enter a very hard week. The messages that we're getting from the UN and those eight agencies that still have any way of finding anything out in Gaza are heart-wrenching. And we all need to be holding each other and holding ourselves. You know, we're here for you at Code Pink. This night is for us to be together and to be reminded that there are beautiful, loving, passionate, fierce hearts on the planet, and that the people in power are few and the people are many. And like Alexis said, it's like, you know, the Palestinians have been for millennia a peace economy, and we live in a war economy. And it is for all of us to practice the peace economy, the giving, sharing, caring, thriving, relational economy, without which none of us would be alive. And, you know, how is that that we take care of each other as we stand up, use our voices, and not be silent about this genocide? So all of you do something, each in your own way, that we're all so grateful for. Make sure you reach out to us and let us know we're not giving you enough to do, or you'd like to do something in an area, just to remind you that that image that took place at the White House was a volunteer writing in and saying, I have an idea. Send us your ideas. We are so exhausted. Our brains aren't working so well. So we need your ideas, your inspirations, your hearts and minds, and all the ways you want to offer them. We will try to uplift them. You know, as we heard earlier from Cynthia, Melissa's there to, you know, raise it up, to do a press release, whatever you want to do locally. We'll get you banners. We want to be here for you so that you don't feel silenced because you don't have enough support. And that, you know, that we're past 100 days, that, you know, that this isn't, we're not built to be able to hold all that is happening, and that it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel lost. And then, as Medea and I say, you know, there's the only recognizable feature of hope is action. And what we find is when we feel like our brains are going to just explode or our hearts can't bear it, please look to Code Pink for something to do, even just sharing on social media. That's what the Palestinians are asking us for. Don't let their stories go untold. There are so many beautiful things being spoken, so much truth, which was what was wonderful about that South African case. And if you need some help, pull out the South African case and just read it. To read truth, to read humanity in the face of masses of propaganda and corruption and lies. So,
yes.
So,
I'm sorry.
Alexis, sorry. You have the last word.
Go ahead. I really want to quickly say, Jody, I'm really glad you said that. We owe the people of Palestine and especially Gaza our endurance. We must not stop. If the more days this happens, we're responsible for it because we're paying for it. And it's our duty and it's our right to stand up for the oppressed people around the world. And it's our duty to have a say in where our money goes. Earlier, I know Melissa was talking about what happens next. You know, that's not up to us. That's up to the people of Palestine whenever they decide in their free, liberated land. And I have no doubt in my mind. Before, when I was growing up, I'm like, we're never going to get it. We're never going to have that. But these days, I'm almost completely certain that our liberation is extremely soon. And when I mean our liberation, I mean all Black and brown and oppressed people. That means low-income white people as well. Our time is now, so we must seize the moment and we must not stop. We can't stop. I'm not gonna die on my back. I'm gonna die standing up. That's what I believe in. And if that means my death, then that I'm okay with that, because there's no such thing as living in these conditions. This is not life. This is not freedom. So I hope everybody in the chat, or I mean in the call, they can continue their work for Palestine and for Congo, Sudan, and all oppressed people that are colonized.
Thank you for joining us, Alexis. Your beautiful voice and your truth, nourishing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We thank Alexis and Jody so much for their inspiring words. We will conclude this week's radio show by listening to Sky, a Code Pink member, discuss what standing in solidarity truly means with Palestine. Sky was at one of our actions in D.C. before the March for Gaza and had this to say.
We have to remember that we stand in solidarity for Palestine, but if you stand in solidarity with Palestine, as we claim to, then you stand in solidarity with the people of Sudan. You stand in solidarity with Haiti. You stand in solidarity with Congo, with Ethiopia. Hands off the Middle East. Hands off Yemen, Lebanon, and Afghanistan, and Iraq. We have to not forget India and Bangladesh and Pakistan and the Philippines. Don't forget any of these people. Do not forget. Remember, America is an imperialist country as well. Do not forget Polynesia or Puerto Rico or El Salvador. Do not forget the indigenous people right here and also all across the globe who have also been occupied. Because here's the thing, I am glad that we're calling out AIPAC, filthy AIPAC. I'm glad we're talking about that. But here's the thing, it's true, money has so much power. But these are things that when we talk about capitalism, socialism, it's called state capture. These are more direct things. It's like, so we have politicians, and most politicians are more likely to be from wealthy backgrounds. We have these lobbying groups who you know, can directly give money. And although these things are very corrupt, and we should, you know, put a stop to that, the thing is that under a capitalistic society, this kind of exploitation will keep happening because at its roots, it's not just directly money and payments. It's about who controls capital and who controls private property and means of production. So if you stand here in solidarity with Palestine, I urge you to stand in solidarity with the movement of socialism and Marxism. It's more than just a movement of pesky economics. It's about a movement for the people. And here's the thing, we stand in solidarity with the people all around the world. Every country, every people that I have named, they are going through a genocide right now, right under our noses. And do not feel like you are deserving of apathy because you hit a $10 donation one time. Do not feel like you don't have any more to do because you liked a few posts about Gaza. This is more than stroking your ego. This is more about performative activism. This is about the people all around the world. And to finish off, A couple of people here know that today I was called in to the vice principal's office. I was like, is this either because of the police report I filed against the guy who assaulted me, or is this about, I know what this is about. And I got there and they're like, so we heard you've been disrespecting other people's political beliefs. Everybody here, I just want you to know, everybody here deserves to feel safe regardless of their political beliefs or who they support. Listen, you can say, you can technically say anything. You can say neo-Nazism is good. You can technically say Japanese internment camps were good. You can technically say the Jim Crow laws were good. You can say that, but there's, that doesn't mean you're not gonna get into a lot of that's the thing. There's when, especially when it comes to affluent suburban areas like mine, there's this pipeline. You're born into this affluent family, but don't admit that you're privileged. You're not capitalist, you're just solid middle class. Ignore the three ski trips a year, ignore that. And then you go to college, and you go into these high paying jobs, and there's so much pressure. But I have lost so much in my lifetime, and I'm not afraid to lose more. When I was first sexually assaulted, I fought back to school to the very last inch of ground I had. And I will fight again, but with more passion. And that's the thing. So the final things I have to say is that we can say it. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Zionism is fascism, and Zionism must fall down. And again, do not forget what I said today about socialism. Intifada today, long live Intifada today, and tomorrow come back for a global revolution of the people.
Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you to all that contributed to the March for Gaza, as well as our Missing Peace Monday community reflection. You can find all of our upcoming events at www.codepink.org/events. Once again, I'm Grace with Code Pink. Thank you for listening to Code Pink Radio, presented by WBAI in New York City, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, and KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles.
Bush and Bin Laden, you think they're foes? They're in business together. Daddy Bush knows the Carlyle Group since years before been raking in billions and itching for more.
It's blood for oil, we know there's a link.
They say code war,
we say code pink.
It's blood for oil, we know there's a link. They say code war,
we say code pink.
Code pink for freedom, code pink. Was not Iraq, but Iran.
They feed you lies, don't want you to think.
They say code terror,
we say code pink.
They feed you lies, don't want you to think. They say code terror,
we say code pink.
Code pink for freedom, code pink for peace, code pink till hunger and war have ceased. Code pink for women, boys, men, and girls. Together we'll
phones and the places we meet, they curtail our speech, our movement, our rights, but we won't give up
without a fight.
With the wave of the flag, our liberty shrink.
They say code fear,
we say code pain.
With the wave of the flag, our liberty shrink.
They say code fear,
we say code pain.
Code pain for freedom, code pain for peace, code pain to hunger.
Together we'll make peace.